This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear a report from the 95th Annual FFA Convention in Indianapolis from Sierra Doctor. We begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline presented by Amity Technology, Pivot Bio, the North Dakota Mill, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Our Villa, North Dakota, Columbia Grain site manager Tyler Kiefer says farmers are making quick work of harvest.
Soybeans are pretty much a wrap. Corn's moving along extremely quickly. Guys are finding it nice and dry. Looking at how late it started, we're pretty pleased. So I've seen off the combine as low as 14.9, so extremely proud of these guys.
And Kiefer says yield reports have been widely variable.
It's all over the board. I've heard everything from, 160s, 170s down to 110s. So it's it really depends on were you in those pockets that caught the right rain. I would say that we're probably 70%, if not higher than that. By the weekend, we're going to be close to 90%.
And south of Mackville, North Dakota, Carl Jensen is finishing up his corn.
We've had a nice stretch of weather here lately, so I think they're rolling pretty good. A lot of guys are finishing up with corn. Sunflowers, some guys are done. Some guys haven't started, so little bit later on the sunflower corn.
And once again, yields all over the place.
Yeah, really variable, just like all the rains we had this year. Yeah, yields are kind of all over the board. Some excellent ones to droughtier stands that were not very desirable. So, yeah, it's just like the year, variable as much as possible.
U.S. Custom Harvester member Mark Anderson is out of the combine this week, traveled to Indianapolis for the National FFA Convention. Anderson, who is from Nebraska, says harvest has been slow going.
This year was one of the slowest years harvesting I've ever had. Because of the drought in the Midwest, there was not a lot to harvest. It was a tough situation out there. So the spring, we did our rye in the spring, and then we did nothing until we started corn in September, and we normally start corn in August. So the dryland corn in my area was too burnt up to even salvage with the chopper. So it was all irrigated stuff, but the harvest went really well because there's no rain, there's no mud.
Anderson says despite the dry conditions, yields weren't too terribly bad.
The yields were down, I would say, just in general, but not too far down. If they could get it wet and keep it watered, we saw 25 to 30 ton corn silage in our area, which is pretty normal.
And that's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Pivot Bio, the North Dakota Mill, and Amity Technology. Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo says the grains continue to work through demand concerns.
I think with some increases in COVID restrictions in some pretty key areas of China, market's worried about that. You're pricing that in with the copper market, I think, and then we're back to the Mississippi River and the talking about the idea that maybe offers are being pulled again for November and December by commercial traders down there at New Orleans.
And Zuzulo expects more extreme volatility in these grains.
I think we're going to have to strap ourselves in for some, like a rocket-type movement in this market, back to maybe historic volatility, because between Monday of next week and November 19th, we've got the Brazilian elections, we've got the Battle of Kherson and that dirty bomb issue still lingering, Federal Reserve, U.S. election, USDA WASDE report. We still will have to talk about the Mississippi River, and then as we get to the 19th of November, that's when the railroad unions can strike if we don't have a good conclusion on that. And the Ukrainian grain deal also ends on the November 19th date. And so a lot going on in the first 20 days of November that I think will just increase our trading ranges.
The grain markets continuing to consolidate. Lakefront Futures market analyst Darren Fessler says at some point, South America's crop weather will become a focus.
That's going to be the big issue here. It's going to be the big catalyst that's going to come. Maybe the USDA does something with the balance sheet in November report. I'm certainly in a camp that they could. Will they? And not enough to move the needle. I think they're going to punt the ball down the road. This next report, December, obviously, for sure. And then they're just going to save all their ammo for the final report in January.
And Fessler says, keep an eye on the technicals of this grain market.
We're starting to break down here from a September 20th trend line. We've held this line, for a month now. The moving averages are starting to roll over here, so that's definitely in the bearish camp. Same thing with the beans here. We've had a bearish crossover in some of these moving averages that, again, the momentum is starting to slow there. You're seeing that in today's prices. And wheat, nothing has changed technically, since we got to about $10 in spring wheat. I mean, it's still technically bearish market, especially on the KC and the Chicago, even though I do think the KC market has some issues if it doesn't get a lot more moisture here from now until spring.
According to FNC Ag Stock, 5 American Crystal Sugar shares selling for $4,700. That would be the high point for the sale so far this fall. Low water levels on the Mississippi River are adding to the volatility in the fertilizer business. Quarterly report from Rabobank said the river shipping problem could influence supplies of some types of fertilizer. Ammonia prices are up 15% year over year. The Rabobank analyst says the bottlenecks on the river have hurt soybeans and the most because beans are also dependent on exports. The secondary rail markets are also at the highest level since 2012. The cost for trucking freight is down 4% from its peak in May, but still 17% above a year ago. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. It's the second full day of the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor is there.
Coverage of the 95th National FFA Convention is brought to you by CHS, A Country Farm Credit Services, Associated Milk Producers with Dinner Bell Creamery, Proceed, and Corteva. Over 1,000 Minnesota FFA members traveled to Indianapolis for the 95th National FFA Convention. Minnesota FFA Interim Executive Director Lavin Rada says awards are starting to trickle in from competitions.
So we're still waiting on some of the results, but so far our highest ranking chapter is from Park Rapids, and they earned gold and second place on stage last night in the forestry career development event. Most of our schools coming back are also ranked in gold. We have some silver and bronze, but there's about half of the results that we don't have yet. We have almost 16,000 students in FFA in Minnesota this year, and about 1,000 of them will be at National Convention. So we try really hard to make sure that they have opportunities at the local and regional level. But National Convention is definitely something that not every student gets to experience.
Rada says convention is the highlight of many FFA members' careers.
As a high school agriculture teacher, it was one of my favorite things to watch those students the first time they walked into the arena and just saw blue corduroy jackets from wall to wall, and they realized that they were part of something much bigger than themselves and much bigger than even their local community. And Minnesota is probably one of the most well-represented states, having over 1,000 members and teachers there, and over half of our chapters attending. So we have over 100 chapters that are at convention. And National Convention is really their opportunity to come together, to put their work from their agricultural education classes into action.
Coverage of the National FFA Convention is made possible by our sponsors, Bayer, Nutrien, Farm Credit Services of Mandan, Minnesota Farmers Union, and South Dakota Farmers Union. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
The 95th National FFA Convention Trade Show boasts more than 300 exhibitors. CHS Intern Program Manager Carly Potter says she's looking for future CHS employees.
I think the great thing about FFA is they just really prepare their students for that next job, their next career, and they're so passionate about the agriculture industry. And so when I'm meeting with students here, that's the first thing that comes to mind is that passion. But then I see the leadership skills that they're being developed, the confidence that they have, and we just want to bring that back to CHS because that's exactly what we're looking for.
And Potter says CHS works to keep agriculture and farmers profitable.
We provide everything that a farmer would need to put the crop in the ground to help it grow and protect it. And then once that crop's ready to get harvested, we buy that from the farmer and then we sell it to customers all around the world. So what I like telling students is we have those really great one-on-one connections with farmers, and we also have those global connections with customers too. And I would say something I'm super excited about just this past year is we're coming off a phenomenal financial year. We're slated to give back $1 billion back to our farmer owners as a cooperative. And so I love that. It definitely keeps us rooted in our purpose and keeps, again, our farmer owners top of mind and really makes us purpose driven.
Soybean cyst nematode is estimated to cause 100 million bushels of yield loss every year. BASF Technical Field Representative Nick Tinsley says SCN can cause problems without any above ground symptoms.
The first step in any kind of management plan is really to know what kind of populations that you're dealing with. And so getting out there to take soil samples is probably a really good use of time and a good investment for that grower to be aware of what's going on.
BASF is offering free SCN soil testing kits at scnactionmonth.com. Monday is the deadline to sign up.
One of the nice things about soybean cyst nematode is that there are tools in the toolbox. And so, you know, crop rotation can be a great way to help bring some of those numbers down if they get a high sample. Of course, most of the varieties that we're growing are resistant varieties. And so the level of performance can vary, but that's definitely a good choice. And finally, I'd encourage users to consider using a seed treatment.
National Pork Board and PIC are working together to help the industry calculate the environmental benefits from genetic improvements. Framework will create a standardized process for corporations to understand and measure genetics and sustainability. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Mikkel Pates. Mikkel, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
Well, this is kind of an unusual story. It's a case where somebody that started out in precision ag information got into a novelty product. It's Nathan Flighty, whose family has been in a company called SatShot that does precision use of remote and satellite information for precision farming. But he is turning this into a novelty product where you order a play mat for your kids to play with their farm toys on that shows your own home farm. And then you have other products, including wall products for planning a farming operation or just for decoration on a wall or other kinds of products. And so it's just kind of one of those things that if you have kids or grandkids that like to play with these farm toys, here's a product they can actually play on the home farm on the floor.
That's actually really interesting.
I thought so. You know, I mean, that family's been very innovative and, you know, I think they'd thought about this kind of thing for a while, but they went ahead and created a company called Boundary, B-O-U-N-D-R-I. And so people can go on there and order things just like you might order Christmas cards.
Oh, Mikkel, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week. And let's check markets here before we leave you this Friday afternoon. We're down four in Minneapolis December wheat at 946.5. Chicago December wheat's down 9.25 at 829.25. And Kansas City's down 7 at 925.25. December corn's down a penny, 681.25. March down 1. November soybeans now 7 cents higher at 1389.25. March is up 7 at 1409. November canola down $21 a metric ton. This is the Red River Farm Network.